Whenever we get to a passage like this, where clearly Mark is wanting to really remind us of what is significant. Now, Mark is writing to people like us, non-Jews, people that weren't familiar with all of the insights and outsides of what Judaism was about. And so you'll notice in this passage, and if you, you know, read it, particularly in a red letter Bible, so a Bible where the words of Jesus are printed in red, you see all of these bits in brackets after the sayings of Jesus, because Mark realizes that he needs to explain what's going on for people that weren't familiar with all of these practices. And that's us. We're not familiar with what was going on at that time. Now, all this stuff about washing dishes, about what is clean, what is unclean, there's certainly very important parts of Scripture, particularly the book of Leviticus, that cover things like this. But most of the things that we read about just now are not covered at all anywhere in the Hebrew Scriptures. So we need to ask the question, well, where do they come from? Where are these traditions of the elders that Jesus is referring to? And for that, we need to go about 600 years into the past, because it was that moment in the year 586 that the Babylonians had conquered the people of the southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of Israel, had already fallen to the Assyrians more than a century before that. But when the city of Jerusalem, and particularly the temple, was destroyed, everything that the Jews thought they knew about God and about his fidelity seemed to evaporate. And there were whole books, like the Book of Lamentations, written to try and ponder, well, what is going on? What happened? Why were we unfaithful? And they arose particularly when people began to return from exile about 60, 70 years later, when a new empire had arisen, the Persians in this case, and King Cyrus had on his throne given the Jewish people the privilege of being able to return and funded the rebuilding of the temple. And they grew this community, these people within Judaism, kind of pondering, asking this question, how did we make so many mistakes? How did we get it so wrong? And the scribes began to say, well, maybe we don't have enough rules. Maybe that's the problem. After all, we only have 613 commandments that are present in the Torah, 365 prohibitions, things you shall not do, 248 prescriptions, things that you shall do. Clearly, that is not enough laws. And so the scribes began to sit down and to work out, where are the gaps? Where are the things that we obviously got wrong because we didn't know? We weren't able to make sense of things. And it's pretty clear, the Torah, it doesn't give you a full code of conduct. You know, there's only two commandments regarding marriage, for example, and clearly relationships, human relationships, need a whole lot more structure than what just two commandments are able to provide. And so the scribes were saying, let's try and come up with a new system. Let's try and fill in those gaps, offer a way so that we can be sure that at least we know when we're being faithful to God. Because that was their desire. It was a good intention, a good hope that they had, that we would be able to be faithful to the God of the covenant. But by narrowing themselves so much and by saying, look, this is the only way that we can be sure that we're doing the right thing, and everybody else is unclean. Everything else is profane. Everything else is outside of this gift of God's goodness and God's grace. And so Jesus comes and says, look, it's not the externals that matter. They're significant, they're important, they're things that are a part of our lives that are helpful for us. But he's calling them to a deeper observance. So things like the washing of your hands, you know, they prescribed. It wasn't about hygiene either. They didn't really care whether, well, they didn't understand the importance of hygiene. You know, thanks be to God, we have this stuff that we can put on our hands whenever we kind of need to. But then you would have, it was prescribed that it was a egg cup and a half of water would be poured. First, you would have your hands facing upwards. And so the water would be poured over the tips of your fingers until it ran down at least to the wrist. And then you would grab your fist in the other hand and smush it into the other hand, and then the same with this hand. And so that was the first stage of the ritual cleansing. But your hands were still dirty because they were dirty, and so they'd made contact with water that was clean, but you'd made it dirty by your contact. And so then a second washing was required. This time, your hands would point down and the water would pour on your wrist down until it got to the ends of your fingers, and then you would rub them together and voila, then your hands would be clean. Now, we have like a ritual washing as part of the Mass still, you know, when the priest washes his hands before the Eucharist. Again, not about hygiene, not about offering, you know, to make sure that my hands are clean. Hopefully that has happened, and thankfully we were able to sanitize our heads now. But this is about this call to be separated, to be devoted to God. But Jesus is saying, no, these things will not get you there, because it's about what happens inside us, about what happens in the depths of our hearts. That's why these things matter. That's why these commandments and rules are about. You know, Moses understood this in our kind of very ecstatic reading that we had from Deuteronomy chapter 4 today, where Moses is, you know, reminding the people, what other nation has their God as close as our God is to us? You know, God has given us these rules and these commandments in order to bring us into his people, in order that we might be a sign and a symbol of what a transformed life looks like, that we might be that image bearers into the world of what God first created us to be. You know, and Moses understood that that was the reason for the laws, for these things, so that we could live in that covenant fidelity to God. But of course we failed, and we didn't get it right, and we weren't able to live that, because we hadn't changed our hearts. We hadn't transformed the inward works of our souls. Because Jesus says that's where all this garbage comes from. Not from eating unclean food, not from eating with unclean hands, but because our hearts haven't been changed. We haven't been transformed. So the invitation today is to continue to remember, why are we doing this? And because we're simply responding to what God has first done in us. He's invited us into this life, invited us into this freedom. And to the extent that we respond, to the extent that we open ourselves to his goodness, to the extent that we let the grace and the love and the mercy of God change us, then we can be a people fit for him. We can become the people that he's called and created us to be. And that's when the magic begins to happen.